It's now our opportunity to listen to those much needed words of exhortation. And our brother, Jamie Myron, will be leading us in his exhortation.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a great pleasure to be able to speak with you this morning. I have to make one disclaimer before I begin. The camera does truly add 10 pounds, so please remember that as you're looking at this for the next 20 minutes or so. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man and the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Has anything changed? Surely technology, I guess, is an advancement in our brains. We can say that we're smarter, but are we really? Let's go to Chronicles, chapter, or 2 Chronicles, and look at the kings. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, and verses 3 to 8. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. For your fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your own eyes." Look over to chapter 30, verse 26 and 27. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 26 and 27. "And there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place to heaven." In chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did all that was good and right and true before the Lord his God, and every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did with all his heart, and so he prospered." Hezekiah did that which was right in the eyes of God, and the people followed, and they prospered, and they were happy. But then the king of Assyria wanted to take over in chapter 32, and he tried to scare the people by lying and threatening to them. But Hezekiah trusted in the Lord and prayed, and the Lord delivered him. Yes, Hezekiah did have a few hiccups, but he did stay true to God, and as did his people. Now in chapter 33, Manasseh takes over and does that which was evil before the Lord, and the people followed. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. "Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he raised up altars to the Baals and made wooden images. And he worshipped all of the host of heaven and served him. And he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of the heavens and the two courts of the house of the Lord. He also caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spirits. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. They prospered under Hezekiah and were saved from the Assyrians because they followed God. How can they go from giving thanks to God for their prosperity to turning their backs and giving thanks and sacrifices to strange gods? There seems to be no logic in that. And then because they turned their backs from God, and he was not there to save them from the Assyrians, as we read in verse 11 of chapter 33, Therefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. So now Manasseh realizes that the Lord God is his only true God, and repents and changes his ways, as do the people, for a short time. And when Manasseh passes, then we see Amon. He was so bad that his own servants killed him after just 2 years of reigning. But the people did not rejoice that he was killed. And this is mind-boggling. How can they act like this? How can they just follow a leader that lies and deceives them? We have come so far in today's age, haven't we? Or have we? It has been shown that the U.S. invaded Iraq based on lies. North Korea believes that their leader is a god because he told them so. And look at what Hitler was able to do, not just within his own nation, but within others. People will follow evil because our hearts are evil. And it is better for someone else to suffer than for me. I had a conversation with a fellow from work, and we were talking about if the power went out for an extended period of time. And he said that if he knew that his neighbor had food stored, he would take it. I stared at him, and he said that he would, of course, ask first. But the reality, he said, if the answer was no, he would just steal it. That is human nature. And what did Jesus say when asked what is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is what we must aspire to do. We are to follow the laws of the land until they go against God's laws. It is as important today as it was back then. Because we can be swayed to turn away from God just as easily. And there are those even within Christadelphia who are trying to change the way that we believe and the way that we follow God's words. Let us turn over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and the first two verses. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke with a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. And this happens even today. How many times have we entered into a conversation of religion, and someone, after a few attempts, we are told that they don't want to hear anymore because someone told them that we are a cult or we don't follow true Christianity. Let's look at Paul and Barnabas. They kept trying, but things got out of hand and they moved on. And at Lystra, after healing the lame man, they were thought to be gods. That's in the same chapter of Acts 14, verse 11 and 12. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices and said in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, and because he was a chief speaker. Now, the people were so amazed that they had to believe that they were gods and not just followers of God. The most amazing thing is what shortly happens in the few coming verses. They went from thinking that they were gods to stoning Paul and leaving him for dead because of what they were told. How quickly man's heart changes because of what we are told and what we hear. This again is not just because we aren't like that, you know, because we are much smarter today, aren't we? We are far more advanced. But look at how many people are sent to jail that are innocent simply based on eyewitness testimony, which has been proven to be the most unreliable evidence. And DNA has proven that time and time again, that eyewitness testimony is not that reliable. But if someone gives a compelling enough story, it is believed. They must be telling the truth. Why would they lie about something like that? And well, that's because people do. In chapter 15 of Acts, we are told that both Jews and Gentiles converted to the following Jesus, or accepting that Jesus was the Son of God. Basically, the beginning of Christianity, if you will. And both sides, Jews and Gentiles, wanted to bring their customs and beliefs. The Jews saying that Gentiles needed to be circumcised. And this is where our lesson comes from. The apostles did not get swayed. They did not try to settle things by compromising. If they did, they would have been compromising the word of God. But they held to the word of God and showed them why. We see this in chapter 15 of Acts, beginning at verse 12. Acts chapter 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon was declared how God was the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with the words of the prophets agree, just as it was written, after this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even the Gentiles who are named by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity and all of his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God." They used the word of God, not their own interpretation thereof. And Paul went from persecuting to being persecuted gladly because he found the truth and he was called by God. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting to them continually in the faith, saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." He knew what he was up against. He stayed the course in our Lord Jesus Christ, who we came to remember this morning. Although tempted, he did not sin. Although he asked if the burden would be lifted from him, he did not turn away. And that is what we must do. First, we must know the word. Then we must understand. Then, finally, we must live the word. We need to take these examples and always remember that they are not stories. They're truths. That is what is relevant today as yesterday. We must not be swayed. We must stay strong. And our God will make us prosperous, not financially, but spiritually, that we can overcome anything and that comes our way with God at our side. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy in this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him plagues that are written in this book. Turn with me back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, and verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart, and so he prospered. Chapter 34, 2 Chronicles, and verse 1 and 2. And Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We cannot turn to the right, we cannot turn to the left, if we want to be in the kingdom of God. Hosea was a living example of the relationship between God and his people. It was likened unto an adulteress or a harlot, trying desperately to keep her faithful. And we are to be the brides of Christ. How faithful are we? Do we allow ourselves to be swayed? Do we become tolerant with the ways of the world? We are about to partake of the bread and the wine, the sacrifice that was made for the remission of our sins, and we are told to examine ourselves before partaking, that we are worthy, or are we guilty of his death? Now, for every positive and negative will follow, we need to always remember that the only negative is when we turn away from God, and that every positive comes from God. Brothers and sisters, this was an exhortation that I gave in Nanaimo on November 4th, 2012. And has anything changed? The advancements in technology have changed greatly over the past 8 years. It is amazing. But has man changed? At the beginning of this pandemic, the stores were running out of toilet paper, cleaning supplies, and a lot of foods because people were hoarding and selling goods for profit, a true insight of human nature. And as time went on, a growing number of people began to believe that it was not even real and not complying with the health guidelines and causing greater outbreaks. The election in the States, people blindly following lies and deceptions and conspiracy theories, because man's heart is evil continually. Violence is just around the corner. Literally, there's neighbor turning on neighbor, yelling at strangers for wearing a mask, yelling at neighbors or strangers for not wearing a mask. All because people believe a lie. Nothing has changed since Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Jonah did not think that the people of Nineveh were worth his effort and tried to flee from the Lord. And that obviously did not work. And when he did preach at Nineveh, they listened and they turned toward God. They turned away from their sinful ways and went towards God. They asked for forgiveness. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand or their left hand, and much livestock? God has pity on those who cannot discern the right from the left, or between good and evil. There are those who do plan evil in the middle of the night, as we read in Micah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil in their beds. At morning light they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and take them by violence, also homes, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. And then there are those who blindly follow such people because they cannot tell what is right and what is wrong. God keeps giving chances to those. He keeps giving chances to us as well. And I must admit that I can be like Jonah. More than I would like to admit. I find it easy to lump people together and to say that they're dumb. It's not worth my time to talk with them. But that is wrong. If we are not willing to give people a chance to change, to help them change by coming to a knowledge and understanding of God's words, then we will not change. Sorry, then they will not change. And we have failed if we do not give people the chance. We are to be a light stand in our community. Although that is harsh under these current regulations, we still have options. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 3 verses. Let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to entertain the stranger, for in so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And remember the prisons and those that are in chains with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Yes, again, those are things that are hard to do in this current climate, but we must be prepared and ready and willing and able to do such things, because that is what our Father in heaven does. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, I admit that I can get very worked up when I see something that I just can't agree with. And it festers inside me, creating an anger. But when I stop and realize that they have no option, in that I mean that they are only shown one way or one side, how could they not follow that way? Then that anger, that uptightness, it subsides. The lesson of Jonah is very eye-opening. He did what he thought was right through his feelings, not through God's. He slept during a raging storm, leaving those that were with him to panic and to fear for their lives. Have you done that? I know I have. Now, the lessons of Jonah are not for us to judge this man or his actions, but rather to compare ourselves to him, to really question how we react in the same circumstances. Again, nothing has changed. Human nature, No matter how smart or advanced we get, human nature is human nature. That has not changed. But thankfully, neither has our Father in heaven. He continually and consistently teaches us, guiding us through trials, through tribulations, through chastisement, having pity, having love and mercy, and most assuredly forgiveness through the sacrifice of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we partake of this bread and the wine, let us examine ourselves to really question if we in turn do those things for others. To spread the word without judgment, without bias, and without selfishness. Neither turning to the left nor turning to the right, but looking forward and moving straight towards the coming kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Thank you.